Hey, Adelaide go into the split round. 8 wins, 8 losses. They're 10th on the ladder. 1 game out of the 8. 6 games less left. And Bone, all winnable. No
winnable.
Question, all winnable. Joining us is Matthew Clark, one of Adelaide's assistant coaches. Doc, thanks for your time.
No worries, boys. I'll just fill in this 15 minutes while we wait for Mick, eh?
Oh, no. Hey, Doc, we want to hear from you, mate, because you're in the hot chair with the Crows. Don't worry about that.
I want to hear from Mick. It's all about Mick today, isn't it?
Well, it is a little bit. Well, where do you sit on it, actually, now that you've brought it up, Doc?
Well, it's a unique position of pressure that those guys are under. As a player, I don't think you have any comprehension of the pressure that the senior coach is under, and as an assistant coach, I don't think you've got any appreciation either, really. I think that's the first thing. But I guess the media organisations, whether they be Channel 7 or 5AA, pump a fair bit of money into the game, so I guess you have to be fairly respectful of the role they play, not in only financing it, but also, you know, distributing the content out to the player, to the supporters.
Yeah, but let's not get the skew wrong. I don't think anybody wants to see a coach's dial on the screen 10 times a quarter when they should be showing a replay, Doc. I think coaches have got to band together and have a chat and get that right.
Well, I think the game, hopefully the game is the main feature. There's no doubt about that. But you'd have to admit that it does add to the theatre when you see the reaction of those that are sort of intimately involved. So I think there's a place for a bit of both. But the amount is probably debatable. I was actually listening to your umpire on the way home, and I was wondering as I was driving, how would the coaches go if we were all mic'd up 100% of the time?
Yeah.
That'd be another level of scrutiny again. So the ump's probably, I think the ump's probably the star of the day today, isn't he? He spoke really well, and we probably need to give them a bit of a break at times as well.
And Doc, with Sando and your coach's box, do you have rules of engagement, or do you have levels of expression you're allowed to show or not, or do you cover up your mouth now that Johnny Longmire does and a couple of the others? Is there? Do you talk about having to be cool, calm, and collected, or look like that in the coach's box?
No, it's not. I think it'd be impossible to regulate yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just reacting to what's happening in front of you and trying to obviously make as much difference as you can, and what comes out. I don't think people are, well, my opinion is people watching the broadcast are interested in it because they see the level of emotion and engagement, but I don't think they're critical of a coach for being demonstrative. There's no doubt they're just riding every bump like no other person at the ground, I'd say.
There was plenty of those Friday night. How did the coaching panel handle Friday night?
Yeah, well, it was a disappointing result. We felt that obviously we got our hands on the ball enough, but we probably over-handballed it, would be the simplistic analysis.
Yes.
And just probably, didn't handle the pressure. I mean, obviously going into the game, we don't anticipating handballing it more than we're going to kick it. So a little bit of, I think that has to be credit to Hawthorn, the way they attacked us around the contest and smothered the ball. It was a world record for smothers. Their technique and their pressure were outstanding, and we probably just weren't quite clean enough. I thought the endeavour, the effort, the intensity was there, but we perhaps lacked that little bit of polish that they displayed.
Hey, Matty, tell us about the handball issue. I found it sort of fascinating because you've been able to stop that, I reckon, in previous games this year when it might have got maybe not as badly out of hand as it did on the weekend, but you've seemed to be able to put a full stop in it, address it and correct it. You didn't seem to be able to do that against Hawthorn. Is that more about them or more about you?
Well, it's obviously a combination. As you indicated, we're actually one of the... We do kick the ball generally. We're not too bad in that regard.
Yep.
But, yeah, it didn't react well to the pressure and just created more congestion and confusion for ourselves at times. So, as I indicated, the effort and the intensity was there, but probably just that execution was a little bit lacking. To their credit, I thought one of the real positives was they just kept coming, they kept trying, but, there was probably a point in the game where you felt like we're not going to get there on this occasion, but they certainly didn't toss it in. They really kept coming, but unfortunately, we probably just made it a bit hard for ourselves.
How hard do you drill down on the turnovers in your review? Is it skill letting you down? Is it decision-making, combination? I mean, again, Hawks, 9 goals, 11 from turnovers. The week before, GWS had 18 scoring shots from turnovers. It's been a big problem all year, Doc. How hard do you drill down on it?
Certainly early. first three games was a massive issue, and so you do have to address it. I think it was interesting after the game. I was looking at the stats, and the kicking efficiency, Hawthorn, if you can believe it, kicked it at 67%, and we kicked it at 65%. But to the naked eye, you wouldn't have thought that going if you were watching the game. So I think it's the ones where the pressure actually comes off just that little bit, and then you fail to execute those kicks are the frustrating ones. And it's been an interesting week on the track because obviously there's no game this week, and so there's an opportunity to take a breath. But I think what's been pleasing from a coaching perspective is the players taking it on themselves to recognise that performance probably wasn't at the level in terms of those simple execution, and they've been really, really strong on driving the standard on a down week. Certainly the intensity probably won't be quite the same. We've got some sore boys and we need to make sure that they recover and recuperate. But the players have been really good in driving the standard on just that fundamental execution, which is really important, trying to execute and win a game of footy.
Yeah, you mentioned the kicking efficiency. I went through all the goals, the turnover goals, and most of them were from handball errors. I know you drilled down on that. Are they the same players making the same mistakes?
There are a few repeat offenders, and they sit with the line coach, they work through it, and they're obviously receiving more attention. But I think it's across your whole group. You need to just make sure that your training standard's really high and you try and replicate pressured situations so that... and if you look at Hawthorn, they're the premiership team, and they've probably had almost an 8 to 10 year focus on that extremely high level of skill execution, mainly by foot, but also by hand. I mean, Sam Mitchell probably is the classic for a guy who, you know, when you look at him, you think, well, he's not that quick. You know, he's kind of low to the ground, but his skill just takes him to another level, and he's become one of the elite players in the competition. So for our guys in their development phase, there's a classic example on the weekend of a guy who just gets the absolute most out of himself by being as skillful a player as there is in the competition.
Would you drop a player that couldn't hit a target and make good decisions under pressure? And who is your club's number one turnover king?
I don't have the stat in front of you, but I think you know, any player's performance incorporates all of those facets. And so if you can't be part of our offense and execute skill, then yeah, that's going to put you under pressure for selection, no doubt about it. But I guess you'd try to look at their game holistically. Are they bringing other elements to the table which make them vital? You know, are they a great contested ball player? Do they defend really strongly? But yeah, offense is part of it. And if you can't be part of that, if you can't join in offensively, then yeah, you'll come under selection pressure for sure.
Hey, Matty, I reckon Stephen asked a question there, knowing the answer. That was one of those loaded questions.
I don't think it's up to me, because I know the stats. I know who turns the ball over more than anyone. I don't think it's up to me to say it. If Doc doesn't want to, I don't think I should. And Bone, if I write you a note and hand it to you, you're not meant to expose it.
You can say it.
That's not good radio.
Yes, it is. You didn't have not to be disclosed. You didn't put a disclaimer on there.
Fair dinkum. No, well, look, Matty, if you don't want to disclose it. But look, hitting targets is just crucial. And you said it correctly. Plus 30 contested ball. Danger, Sloan, Crouch were probably the best midfielders on the ground. Talia held roughhead. Jenkins kicks 5. 10 inside 50 marks. You won score from clearance. You won hitouts. With those sort of stats, you don't lose. So how the hell did you lose?
Well, you've already indicated, haven't you?
Well, I did. I know, but that's how important it is for me. Fair call. But normally if I said to you, and Rory Sloan said exactly the same thing, normally if I said to you that will happen, what I've just read out, you'd win 9 out of 10 games, Doc.
Oh, that's it's part of the foundation, but yeah, all the elements of the game are important, and we didn't execute them all. I think, once again, getting back to what we've discussed already, effort, intensity, awesome, and the foundation of a lot of your footy. But if you want to beat the really good sides in the comp, and obviously Hawthorn, in spite of a number of injuries, are right up there again, and are going to threaten for the premiership again, you're going to have to be the complete package, and we weren't.
Yeah, Paddy Dangerfield said exactly that, Matty, where he said contested footy was great. We just didn't get the balance right between outside ball.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a trend. And I think it's probably a little bit about the DNA of some of our players, that they are very very much contested ball and in and under type individuals. And so we're sort of trying to train and retrain them a little bit to be able to cover that outside band as well. I don't know which way is best to come. Do you want to have outside players that you've got to train to become inside players, or the other way around? I don't know which is the preference, but we've got what we've got, and we love that because they're inspiring to watch the way they attack the ball. But there's no doubt we've just got to keep teaching and training that balance between inside and outside footy.
Is that composure? I just wonder whether you've got your bloke, your hunters. You say we want to hunt the footy because we want to win this, and you've got your teeth gritted and you've got that little bit of aggression about you. So you're in hunting the footy. You need composure to stay outside and resist the temptation to go and get the footy. So I just wonder whether that's a composure.
Yeah, it's probably part of it. Mm. At times this year, obviously in big high intensity games, we've been able to get that right. Yep. But probably on balance, Friday night wasn't quite as we'd like it to be. So that's okay. We get a chance to take a breath.
Yep.
We've got six games to go. We've got obviously a massive game next week against Collingwood. We've got three sides, one game ahead of us on the ladder. So I guess in simple mathematics, we've got to win one more game than all of those three teams to give ourselves a chance. But it starts next week, and after a short break, we've got 4 days with the players away from the club. We get back and we get ready to go.
Has the split round bye come at a good time, do you think, Doc?
Yeah, I think so, mate. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. There's been players who, without making excuses, back-to-back six-day breaks do take a toll on the bodies. To have an extended break at this stage is good. And it certainly will give us, Collingwood will be in the same boat, which is fine, but it'll give us no excuse in the back end of the year to press our claims.
Well done, Doc. Enjoy the break, and thanks for your time.
All right, guys, just one quick one. We've got the Family Day, Members Day down in Adelaide Oval tomorrow. So if anyone's got kids on school holidays, I think it's going to be open for about 10. We'll have a training session, and people can come along. There'll be a sausage chisel, and I think you can get a tour through the coach's box so you can get that unique perspective of Michael Malthouse or Brendan.
Well done, Doc.
Very good.
Thanks for your time, mate.
See you, boys.
Yeah, Doc Clark there for Elders Real Estate, making more possible. We'll mention that again. So it's school holidays.
Yep.
So a family day tomorrow from 10 at Adelaide Oval. Sausage sizzle, face painting. I think you can bring your footy along as well and have a kick out on the oval. Ooh. See the boys change. As Doc said, get up into the coach's box. Fantastic.
Bro, brilliant
interaction with the
school
holidays. They'll get thousands down
there. I'm not going to tell my lad. He'll be dragging me down there at 9:30 in the morning.
I think Claude the Crow will be out there.
Oh, now we're going.
Claudie.
Love Claude.
Doc Clark, our guest.